Well, good morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is David Coy. I'm the minister here at St Paul's, and great to see your faces this morning, and great to see some faces who recently moved to Queensland back with us this morning. Hi, guys. James and Illy. Welcome back to the real world, Sydney. Well, I want to begin by asking this question. How do we pray for our Christian friends? How do we pray for other members of the church here who know and trust in the Lord Jesus? I don't know about you, but I reckon prayer is a pretty difficult thing. And yet it is a precious activity, a precious thing to be giving our lives to. It's a precious activity that expresses our trust in our God and our dependence upon God. It's good for us at all kinds of levels. But it's hard to know what to pray about sometimes. We pray about such and such a person's bad knee, or this other person's that they would have a good job, or that they would have a happy family, and sometimes that's about as far as we feel as if we know what to pray about. Are there other things to pray about for our Christian friends? Well, the answer is yes, and today we're going to look at the way Paul prays, and to help us to see some of those ways. So let's pray ourselves as we open the Bible. Father, we do thank you for people like the Apostle Paul who included their prayers in the letters they wrote to those ancient churches and individuals. And we pray that you'd help us to learn from Paul today about how to pray better than perhaps we're doing at the moment. Help us to especially learn what it means to pray for other people who already trust Jesus. What are good things for us to pray for them? So be with us this morning and refresh us, we pray. Amen. Well, let me start first by saying how good it is to pray for Christian friends. If you look with me on that sheet, which has the Bible reading from the Holman Christian Standard Version that we're checking out at the moment, and look at verse 15, it says, This is why, since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I never stop giving thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. So Paul is spurred to give thanks for these Ephesian friends, if indeed it is the Ephesians. We're assuming that that's the case. What has spurred him on to pray for them in all his prayers? Especially since, as far as we know, he's not met these people at this point personally. He will meet them, but he hasn't met them at this point. Well, he tells us in verse 15. He says, this is why, since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus, in other words, they have put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and secondly, your love for all the saints. He's not talking about those statues that sometimes you see in churches. He's not talking about those saints. He's talking about other Christians. Because every Christian, everyone who trusts Jesus, is a saint. There are lots of saints here at St Paul's. And so these are the two things, having heard about their trust in the Lord Jesus, an active trust that's revealing itself in the way they love and care for other Christians. Now, these are the marks, these are the signs of the person who has been blessed with every spiritual blessing from God. In the passage we looked at just before this, last week, Paul has spoken about that. So chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Christ." And then he goes on to spell out all of those different blessings with which he's been blessed, with which all of us who trust Jesus have been blessed. What are they? We've been chosen by God. We've been adopted into God's family through Jesus Christ. We've been redeemed by his blood. We've been forgiven all our sins. We've been lavished with God's grace. We've had revealed to us God's purposes in his Messiah, his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to unite everything in him. We've been sealed by the Holy Spirit as the down payment of our eternal inheritance. Wow! What an incredible list of blessings God has given to anyone who turns to put their trust in Jesus. And these are true of these Ephesian friends. And Paul knows that that's the case because he's seen the signs of those blessings, the sign of trust in Jesus and love for all the saints. They are extraordinary gifts to be given. Now, as we look around our church, as we look at the people gathered here this morning, and some are away today, of course, Mother's Day, things going on. As we look around our church, we find people here who have the same living trust in the Lord Jesus and the same love for other Christians, for others who trust in the Lord Jesus. The world does not love the believer, but other Christians do. Now, not everyone in church, of course, knows the Lord Jesus or trusts in the Lord Jesus yet. And we might pray differently for them. But when we find someone who does trust in the Lord Jesus, it's important that we remind ourselves that the outward appearance is actually a bit deceiving. That in fact that person who trusts Jesus has great spiritual gifts given to them. All the blessings of God for eternity are given to them. They've been lavished on them. They look pretty ordinary on the outside, Bob and Mary and Jim and so on. But spiritually, they are the people of the living God who will live forever. Chosen, forgiven, sealed by the Holy Spirit who lives within them, sharing in the kingdom of God. It's extraordinary. Take a moment to look around at some of those people here gathered this morning and realize what amazing things God has done in them and for them. They are sharers in the kingdom of God. They're the people of heaven. And there's every reason to thank God that that is so. For us, it seems pretty mundane. Oh, yes, that's another Christian person. Yeah, so. Well, actually, no, it's not mundane. Great things have been done spiritually to that person, in that person's heart and life. And so we've got every reason to thank God for them and every reason to pray for them. But we might think to ourselves, look, if they've received every spiritual blessing, what is there to pray for? They've got it all, haven't they? Well, there's lots. like us, they are still travelling through this world with the temptations and the difficulties that this world has in it, the trials that we all know so well come into our lives. They still have the limitations and the struggles and the weaknesses of a fallen human nature for now. That'll all change when the Lord Jesus comes and transforms them, but for now, they've still got those limitations and those struggles. And if there are people you know who trust Christ, they, like you, on one hand have these immense privileges hidden from our visual sight, all through God's grace, but they need our prayers. They need your prayers, just as you need their prayers as they travel through this difficult world. So what do we pray for them? What do we pray for the saved? Well, the central thing that Paul focuses on here is this. He prays for his Ephesian friends that the light of their mind's understanding of all that they have now in Christ would grow brighter and brighter and brighter. Some of you know that over this last week I've been at a retreat, and we were up in the Blue Mountains, and I arrived on Sunday afternoon and went in. The house was empty, and I turned the light on. And the lights came on, they were really dim. And then it suddenly, the penny dropped, and I realised that it's one of these light switches that has a dimmer knob on it. And so I turned the dimmer light on, and everything got brighter and brighter and brighter, and you could see everything. Now, life is like that for the person who trusts in Jesus. When they came to trust in Jesus, and it's God who brought them to that day, that was the day when the switch was turned on. But the light is dim. Our minds, well, we only understand the Lord Jesus very dimly. We're busy getting on with the rest of life. But God wants us to grow brighter and brighter. He wants that knob to be turned, as it were, so that our understanding of all that he's given us and who the Lord Jesus is would grow and grow and grow. And so Paul prays that that would be so. This is a rich prayer. So look with me at verse 18. He says, I pray that the perception of your mind might be enlightened. That's what he's praying about, that the dimmer would be turned up. Now, how is God going to answer a prayer like that? How does the dimmer get turned up so that things are nice and bright? Well, God answers that prayer by his Holy Spirit, who was given to us, who helps us to get a clear and clearer understanding of Christ as we read our Bibles. Only the Holy Spirit can help us understand and make sense of the Bible. So as we read our Bibles, Paul prays that the Spirit of God would give us a brighter and clearer and bigger vision of Jesus in particular. And that's why he says in the verse before it, in verse 17, he says, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I think the word spirit there should be spirit with a capital S, God's Holy Spirit. Could be a spirit with a little s as well, and that makes perfect sense, but I suspect it probably should be a capital S. would give you the spirit of wisdom, that is an understanding of God's purposes for us, and of revelation, understanding more and more of Christ, so that we might be enlightened. So we can pray that the light of the understanding of Jesus would get brighter and brighter in each other's minds. Some people who aren't yet trusting Jesus will be praying that God would flick the switch on to start the process, won't we? That'll be the kind of thing we'll be praying about. But for the rest, we're praying that their understanding would go brighter. Paul, in his prayers, wants that understanding to grow, and he wants it to grow in three particular ways, which are kind of intertwined here. The first one is that they would grasp better and better the hope that God has called them to. You know, our thinking is very much this worldly. We're just busy with things going on today, and when we're looking forward to things, we're looking forward to a holiday, and we're looking forward to a weekend, or we're looking forward to time with such and such a person. Our thinking is very this worldly. And Paul is praying for his Ephesian friends that God would so work in them that he'd lift them out of that worldly thinking, so that they might see the magnificence of the hope that he has got, in the spiritual, eternal hope that is there for them in heaven. And that's what he says in verse 18. He says, "I pray that the perception of your mind might be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling of them. What are the riches, secondly, of his inheritance among the saints?" That's the second aspect of this brightening understanding, that they would grow in their grasp of how gloriously rich an inheritance God's people are to God. And if you're one of God's people, you are one part of a glorious inheritance that God has for himself and for us. This is the heart of our hope. We're going to share in the inheritance of God, not in money and jewels and all that kind of stuff, but in God's rich inheritance. Because God's rich inheritance is our inheritance. The third aspect is that he wants our understanding to get brighter and brighter in our grasp of how enormous God's power is to bring us to that hope and to that glorious inheritance. He speaks about that in verses 19 to 22. Let me read just a couple of verses there. He says, "And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power to us who believe? According to the working of his vast strength, he demonstrated this power in the Messiah, in the Lord Jesus, by raising him from the dead and seating him at his right hand in the heavens, far above every ruler and authority, power and dominion, and every title, not only in this age, but in the one to come." I wonder if you can see what he's saying. That the power that is at work in these Ephesian friends, and in fact in anybody who entrusts themselves to the Lord Jesus, is the very same power that raised the dead Jesus back to life, brought him out of the grave, raised him up to be the supreme Lord of absolutely everything in heaven and on earth. And he goes on, as Paul is so often led to do when he starts talking about the Lord Jesus, he's captured and he speaks more and more about the Lord Jesus. Why was the Lord Jesus raised up like this? Well, he was raised up like this for our sake. It was for us that God used that great power to raise him from the dead. He calls us the church there in those verses, in verse 22. It's for our sake that Christ was raised. For you see, as he goes on to say in verse 23, we are his body, and we are the fullness of the one, Jesus, who fills all things in every way. These are profound words. It's hard to think about us. We're a ragtag, diverse little bunch of people, but we are the fullness of the risen, glorious Lord Jesus Christ. We are the completion of his purposes in the world. We reflect his glory. And when we grasp God's power that is surely and certainly bringing us into that glory and into that inheritance, which is his people, it puts our hearts joyfully at rest. Joyfully at rest, because we're in safe, sure hands. The God who brought us to know Jesus in the first place, it was all God who did that, it wasn't us. Well, that same God will surely bring us by his mighty power into that hope that he has guaranteed to us. And so what do we pray for the person whom God has saved? It might be a friend. It might be a family member. It might be your mum. Or if you're a mum, it might be your child who trusts in the Lord Jesus. It might be a member of the church here. As you pray for other members here. How do you pray? Pray that by his Spirit, their minds would so, by the understanding of the Scriptures through the Spirit, that they would have a brighter and clearer vision of Christ and all that he's done for us. And that vision of Christ would go brighter and brighter every day. That their hope would grow, their insight, their inheritance would be understood, and the immense power that is bringing them to it all would be grasped. These are the prayers. And we can pray those prayers for another Christian every day. Every day. And we'll be praying for what is crucial and important for them. So let's pray right now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we again thank you for Paul's words recorded for us and passed down so faithfully and safely to us to this day. And thanks for the help in understanding what it is to pray for someone who has been saved, who's put their trust in Christ and has eternal life. So we do pray for one another and for the Christians we know. We pray that their understanding of all that Christ has done, all that you have done through your Son, would grow brighter and brighter every day. And we particularly pray that they, like we, would grasp the hope that you've given us, the inheritance that you have waiting for us, and the great power, the immense power that is bringing us surely and certainly to the joy of that inheritance. And we pray it for Jesus' sake. Amen.